Hello and welcome to Encounter, the show that brings you the life-changing encounters of ordinary people that launch them into lives of extraordinary mission. My name is Patrick Rice. I'm here with my good friend and brother in Christ, Dan Demite.
What's up, Patrick?
Dude, today we have on the show with us Aaron Richards. Aaron is not only the Director of Operations for Catholic Youth Summer Camp, but he's also a member of our Encounter Columbus ministry team. And he's a very good friend of ours.
Power, power.
His testimony is especially powerful to anyone already engaged in active ministry. Dan, will you lead us off in prayer?
Yeah, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, Lord, we approach you expecting miracles. Lord, we pray that you would bring about a powerful revolution right now in people's lives, that you would bring about a renewed conversion, that those who are hungry for more, Lord, that you would pour out more. Lord, those who aren't hungry for more, we pray that you would plant inside of their heart and inside of their mind a deeper hunger for more. Lord, give us more of you, more of your love, more of your power, more of your strength, more of your mercy, more of your spirit. We pray, Lord, that we would drink deeply of the Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit.
Come, Holy Spirit. Father, I just have these words from John chapter 10, verse 2. Whoever enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens it for him, and the sheep hear his voice as he calls out his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has driven out all his own, he walks ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they recognize his voice. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for a release of faith, a release of faith of who we are, that we are his sheep. We are the sheep of Jesus, and he is our shepherd. And Jesus tells us that we can hear his voice. So, Father, I pray that for anyone who doesn't believe that they can hear God's voice, that they would have the faith that they can hear God, that they can ask him anything and that they will receive. Asking you shall receive, Lord. Father, I pray that there would be a new revelation of who you are, of the relationship that you want to have with us. We thank you for working through Aaron and letting him experience you in intimacy, Lord, and that you're able to reveal your voice to him and to all of us, Lord. So we pray all these things in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. This is awesome. Okay, so we've known Aaron. I mean, how long have you known Aaron?
I've known Aaron since middle school, so for a really long time.
Yeah.
We went to same middle school, same high school, same college, and we actually have conveniently birthed children at the same year. So our 7-year-old daughters are the same age, our 5-year-old sons, our 1-year-old daughter. It's kind of crazy.
You birthed children at the same time, and you've also birthed ministry together.
Exactly.
Right?
We've been birthing ministry together since we were in high school, which
creation
is incredible.
Waits with groaning, right?
Amen.
Right. Birth it. All right. Sorry. All right. So the things that about Aaron's testimony that really stick out are, I think, two things: the raw goodness of Father God, the goodness of Father God. Like, amidst all the lies that God doesn't love us, that he wants us to work for grace and all this stuff, God is good before all that. Dan, can you just share with our listeners and preach on the goodness of God?
Yeah. Let's just open with scripture, should we? Let's look at Matthew chapter 7. If you have your Bibles with you, it's Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. This is what Jesus says. He says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which one of you would hand his son a stone when he asks for a loaf of bread, or a snake when he asks for a fish? If then you, who are wicked, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good things to those who ask him?" Patrick, like you're saying, our heavenly Father is good, and he is the giver of good things. He wants to be a giver of gifts. We have a Father in heaven who wants to say yes. He is a father of the word yes. Scripture also says in Luke chapter 12, it says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Right? Growing up, sometimes I would go up to my dad and I'd be like, "Hey, Dad, do you want to throw the baseball?" And no, Dan, I'm tired right now. Or, "Dad, do you want to go play basketball?" "No, I'm just exhausted right now." And that sometimes we can have a father when we grew up who said no. And that can lead us to think that we don't have a father in heaven who wants to say yes, right? As an earthly father, I try to say yes as often as I can. Not yes to things that aren't good for our children, but yes to the good things. That Matthew 7, it says, right, that how much more will your heavenly Father give good things to those who ask him. So our Father wants to say yes. He says, if you ask, it'll be given to you. If you knock, the door will be opened. If you seek, you will find. The Father loves us. I think we just need to step back and look at our Heavenly Father and say, Father, you are a giver of gifts and you have a hunger to give gifts. I look at my my little kids and I just want to give them everything, right? Like a father who loves his children wants to provide for them and make their lives everything that it can be. And Jesus is saying, well, how much more is God the Father going to do that for us? So this isn't just about if we who are wicked can say yes and do good for our children, how much more the Father will do. And so what are the good things, right? What is, well, like Luke 12 says, fear not, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. That the Father wants to give us his kingdom, right? That he wants to make us his sons and daughters. And as a son or a daughter, we are an heir to the kingdom, right? That we are no longer slaves to sin, but we are an heir to the kingdom of God. We share in his royalty. We share in his power, his strength, his authority, his glory. That the Father wants to bring us into his glory and to share everything with us, right? That so if we're a son or a daughter, right? We're not, as a parent, we're not going to cast our sons and daughters out of our house, but we bring them into our house and they have a share, a common ownership of everything within our home, right? And that's what the Father's doing. He's saying, hey, it's my good pleasure to give you everything of my home, right? Like my goodness, my peace, my mercy, my joy, my strength, my healing power, my love, all that I have is yours.
Amen.
All that I have is yours.
And all of that presupposes that, like, that we can hear from the Father. We can hear his voice, right? Yeah. And like, and that's the other thing about Aaron's testimony. Like, guys, if this might be new revelation to you, but when you're baptized, you receive the threefold anointing of Christ, that you receive his priesthood. He's priest, prophet, and king. And I think the second identity is the most like lost on a lot of people, that we're prophets in Jesus Christ. That a prophet is able to hear God's voice, to proclaim that word that he hears, and then to affect change in the world. That the word of God that we receive is so powerful that it can actually affect miracles, right? It can actually change and penetrate hearts. It's living and effective, sharper than a two-edged sword. And the word of God is not limited to scripture, right? In fact, the early church, they didn't have the scripture for a few hundred years, right? They had the presence of God. They heard God's voice. And, you know, Aaron, I've seen this prophetic identity just come alive in him so powerfully. It's just so clear in his testimony. And I just want to break open the foundation for that like it starts right when Jesus is baptized, Dan. You know, he goes to the River Jordan. And he goes, you know, to John for baptism. And John's like, oh, you know, I you should baptize me. I shouldn't baptize you. And Jesus said, allow it now. It's fitting to fulfill all righteousness. And then he goes under the water and he comes up. And then a few things happen. The heavens are opened up. Heaven is opened over Jesus. The Holy Spirit comes down in the form of a dove and rests upon him. And then the voice comes out, this is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. That before Jesus did any miracle or anything great of note, the Father was already pleased in him. That it's not about what we do. We don't have to please God by doing things for him. We please him because of who we are. We're his children. So we're able, like at that point, heaven's open. We he's able to hear God's voice. And then one thing I love, Dan, is that it doesn't say heaven closed up over him or the Holy Spirit departed, or he was no longer to hear the Father's voice. So we were baptized, and I believe that when we were baptized, the same thing happened. Heaven opened up over us, Holy Spirit came down upon us, and that we have access to the Father's voice. And I can hear Father God whenever I want because I'm his son, right?
Amen. Yeah, so God, like, the Father wants to speak to his children.
Right now, yeah. So like, Aaron like lives within that faith, and like you know, Jesus also promised it, like, you know, I'm the shepherd, you're my sheep hear my voice. Like, you can hear Jesus's voice. not because of what you do or because you went to that workshop, but because of who you are. And he speaks to us through us, like from within, through our faculties, even through our imagination, even through that voice in our mind, even through the impressions on our heart. We just have to be clear to how God speaks to us. And then we come to know his voice. And Jesus even said in John 18, verse 37, everyone who belongs to the truth. Wait, do you belong to the truth?
Heck yeah, I belong to the truth.
Right, listeners, do you belong to the truth? I heard that. Yeah,
this is about you.
He said, everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice. That's a promise. If you belong to the truth, and Jesus is the truth, you can hear his voice, okay? So this is so clear. Like, God has been good to Aaron. He's shown his goodness amidst all of the lies, and he's also revealed his voice, and not only for like Aaron's own sake, but for the sake of others. And we've seen countless people changed by God speaking to Aaron for behalf of other people. Okay, so Dan, I don't want to go anymore. All right, do you want to preach anything else?
No. Let's just invite Aaron in.
Okay, so Aaron, I'm excited for our listeners to hear your story. I know we could start off in many places, but Aaron, like, you know Saint Teresa of Avila.
Yep.
Okay, so Saint Teresa of Avila, she said in her story that she was actually in the convent for multiple years until she actually
20.
Yeah, 15 or 20 years before she actually had her conversion, before she encountered Jesus and was like intimate with him. Can you relate to that at all?
Absolutely, yeah. I just want to start my story from the beginning, and I think it's a similar one to where many of our listeners probably start today. That I was raised in an amazing and supportive Catholic family, right? So I'm the oldest of six kids, and my family was just rock solid, established a real foundation in me that kept me steadfast through struggle and success through the course of my life. As Dan shared earlier, he and I both experienced 12 years of Catholic school together here in Columbus, Ohio, and it was in high school where I really experienced kind of two of the first defining moments of my life as a Christian. At 16 years old, I was invited for the first time to serve with Catholic Youth Summer Camp, a ministry where I still serve today as director of operations. And it was there that two big things happened for me. Number one, I met my future wife there. That's kind of a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
Number two, I really developed a heart for ministry in that time and found the Lord calling me to serve his church in a pretty profound and direct way. The second big thing that happened in my life was after graduation, right after we graduated high school, Dan Demite and I started working in youth ministry together as partners, and it was there that I really had an initial invitation to relationship with the Lord through both my work in parish youth ministry and also my involvement in my life in a men's household with St. Paul's Outreach here at Ohio State. Through that encounter, through that ministry, for the first time, I really caught a glimpse of a God who was passionately pursuing relationship with me rather than just the other way around. And honestly, that experience, it captivated me. So at the wise age of 18, I was excited and burning brightly and seeing results in ministry. But ultimately, over the course of 12 years, I find that I spent more time growing good and sustainable programs than I did being fed by my relationship with my good and sustaining Father.
Wow, like, yeah, sometimes there's this temptation that, like, oh my gosh, I met Jesus. I'm going to put it in a box and sell it, right? You know, or just, like, ship it out to everybody.
Yeah. So I don't want to lead people to think that I, like, entered into a life of deprivation because, you know, I had become a very capable youth minister, music leader, camp director, and role model for the kids that I was involved in. I was making all the right choices and doing really good work. But I came to the point sometime in 2011, 2012, after about 7 years in ministry, I remember sitting in the chapel at St. Agatha preparing for youth ministry night. And I came to this realization that I couldn't recall the last time that I had heard the voice of my Heavenly Father.
Wow.
And the best word that I can use to describe this is that the tender heart that had fallen in love with Jesus as a young man had become just calloused and numb over time. And once again, I had made good life choices. I had wanted to be close to him, and I wanted to lead others to him. But ultimately, for what I'd say spanned a time of 3 to 5 years, when I prayed, it was as if I was praying as an observer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would see myself sitting in adoration praying, and I'd see myself standing with my hands raised in prayer, and I'd hear the words that I was praying, and I'd see the actions that I was taking, and that was it. Mm-hmm. I was frustrated and defeated. And for a long time, I had prayed that it would end, and I had taken it to confession, and I had hoped that this wasn't like a thing that would be a standard in my life. But after years of that, I just figured this is what it meant to be a grown-up, and this is where God wanted me to be ultimately.
Wow, that's like, I feel like this is, Aaron, thank you so much for coming on and just boldly sharing it. Like, it takes courage to say that, you know, Dan, like, that you were in ministry for all these number of years, and, you know, it was like basically your relationship with God was reduced to a form of like doing things, even something as bold as putting your hands up in worship, you know, and like, and doing these external things, like the internal was lacking, you know?
Yeah. You know, a lot of times you can go to a church and meet like a church employee who just is, kind of grumpy and unhappy. And
never met that.
Yeah.
Before.
You never met the grumpy church employee, and you're just like, what happened? Like at some point, I mean, you're in church ministry, at some point, you had to have been drawn to our Lord. What happened? I think a lot of times that prayer life just kind of, you become numb to it, and you don't start begging out for a deeper conversion or a second conversion, a renewal in your conversion. And there's such a need for us never to assume that we're doing everything right so that we're still in God's company, that the Lord wants to renew us and deepen us continually and constantly. But he says, behold, I make all things new.
Amen.
Every day, it's a renewed day, a renewal.
But it requires that hunger. Like if you don't hunger for it, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, definitely.
And if you believe that like this is the way it is, then you can't hunger for more because you don't know there's more.
Amen.
But Aaron, you hungered for more. Like what, you know, how did your perspective, you know, change? How did you experience change?
Well, you know, I just want to go back to that. Patrick, you made a statement earlier that for Jesus, it was his encounter with a relationship with his Father. It was finding his identity as a son that led him into understanding who he was called to be and in having the strength and the grace to step forth and to step into ministry. And just once again to re-echo, I want to say that you know, for all of the listeners out there who might have felt similar things, who may have felt a similar feeling of frustration and defeat, that even though you're living a life according to the way that you've been raised as a Christian, even though you are going through the right motions, even though you're having an effective time in ministry, even that the Lord could be calling you to embrace that identity and could be calling you into an encounter with him. It may not be necessarily about that deep conversion away from something to something else, but an encounter moment where you see your identity as a son defined by the love of the Father.
Mm-hmm. And like, you know, there's this this like desperation that you get in. Mm-hmm. Like if you get caught in that like formalism, right, yeah, of just like form without the power of God in your life, actually, that's how St. Paul talks about this temptation here. You can never have this desperation for something more. But our friend Father Matthias, he always says, like, desperation, like, for more leads to anticipation that it's, mm-hmm, going to come, that leads, mm-hmm, to expectation it's going to come. So desperation for God leads to, like, an anticipation and then an expectation that God is going to have a breakthrough. I believe that our God is the God of breakthrough.
Amen.
You're listening to Encounter, a production of St. Gabriel Radio, and we have joined with us today our good friend and brother in Christ, Aaron Richards. Mm-hmm. And when Aaron, we're going to take a break right now, Aaron, but when we come back on the show, I want you to share the story of this breakthrough. Mm-hmm. Okay, Aaron had like a powerful breakthrough where God broke through that formalism, where God broke through that lack of hearing his voice and just unveiled this intimacy that you've been living out and just rocking and shaking the kingdom. So stay put, hold on the break. We're going to bring Aaron back and he's going to share with us that amazing breakthrough. Thanks so much and God bless. I want to feel the fire. I want to feel the flames. I want to burn forever. Welcome back to Encounter, the show that brings you the life-changing encounters of ordinary people that launch them into lives of extraordinary mission. So we have we're on the second part of our show. Aaron Richards is joined. We're joined with Aaron Richards. And Aaron, can you just share with our audience this breakthrough encounter that Jesus did for you?
Absolutely. So like I said, you know, I've been working in ministry for 10, 11 years at this point. And I had never stopped seeking the Lord. I think the difference was that I just stopped believing that I'd find what I was looking for. I found myself in 2015. There's an annual Christian conference known as Passion. It's held in Atlanta, Georgia. And I'd been following this conference and its leaders for a number of years. And they're just doing amazing work. The content and the music and the direction that they're offering to the Christian church worldwide is culturally defining. It's a great program. My wife Monica and I had attended the year prior, and here I find myself in January of 2015. I attended a second time, and this year I was leading a group of 12 students. So once again, just to reemphasize, I'd stopped really seeking a dramatic change in my relationship with the Lord, because at that point I thought that this was just where He desired me to be. And consequently, that night when I found it, when I found that change and that new encounter, my whole life was radically turned upside down. So it was January 3rd in 2015, and it was cool because our group was actually late to that session. We had gone to a Saturday evening mass, and we ended up getting there after the session started. So we were seated high up in the nosebleed section of Phillips Arena, a capacity crowd. We had terrible view. So I was already predisposed to having a poor experience.
Anyway,
that night.
That's like a basketball arena in Atlanta?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay.
And the entire weekend had been just full of solid prayer and preaching. But for whatever reason, that night, a simple prayer of surrender for me had life-changing repercussions. The leader of this session in his closing prayer offered a simple invitation to close our eyes and to expect to meet Jesus. So following his direction, I closed my eyes and I prayed a prayer and there he was. For the first time that I can recall, the most striking image of the Lord that I've ever seen was before my eyes. And to the extent that I had a moment of like checking out of prayer, and I kept my eyes intentionally closed because I was afraid that if I opened them, he'd actually be standing there in front of me. And I just didn't want that to happen. So I acknowledged the Lord and I looked to him, and he called me to follow him and led me down this corridor. And when we reached our destination at the end, Jesus looked me directly in the eye. And I remember so vividly, he reached toward me and he grabbed my right arm and he just shook my body. And at that point I had the awareness that my physical body was actually shaking. And the only image that I can truly use to describe what happened was that it was as if scales that had been covering my whole body were just shaken free and fell to the ground around me. Mm. And I felt for the first time in my life completely free. And at that point, rather uncharacteristically of me, I began to cry because I had this most incredible realization that for the first time in years, I wasn't the observer of my prayer any longer, and that Jesus had pulled me out of that third-person perspective and in a moment had pulled me into a true intimacy with him. And this experience that I had was one of being convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt, like Jesus in Matthew chapter 3 says that I am a beloved son of the Father in whom he's well pleased. And like I said, I had been doing the right things. For the most part, I was successful and committed in my work in youth ministry, in my vocation, and in my ministry. I wasn't in need of a dramatic conversion, but I needed an encounter with my Father.
It's almost like, Aaron, this change, you know, happened. I'm kind of becoming convinced of this. I love these, you know, these words mm-hmm. that are kind of make you think and shake you. Like the word is this: God doesn't, he doesn't want people that pray to God. Mm. He doesn't want to, you know, we're not supposed to pray to God. We're supposed to pray with God. Mm. And I feel like that breakthrough is like you prayed with Jesus, like mm-hmm. you were with him, not just to him and as an observer. That's just amazing. So everyone, I pray that you receive that word, not just to pray to God, but to pray with God, with Jesus.
Amen.
Oh my gosh, that's just absolutely
incredible. We just
pray
too that the Lord would give intimacy in our prayer life, that there's supposed to be, it's not supposed to be like a wall between us, right? That when the Lord died on the cross, the veil ripped down, right? And so with the veil's been broken and we have access to the Lord like never before, right? That mm-hmm. we're not hidden behind a veil, but we're actually now face to face. And I just love the
veil's been torn.
Yeah, man. It's been torn. Yep. And Aaron, you experienced the Lord touching you. Like that's the kind of tangible intimacy that the Lord wants. That it's not this spiritual, figurative concept of the Lord's going to touch our lives. That he actually wants to touch us.
Amen.
And
yeah.
That's power.
Amen.
And like we have access to, I mean, the reality that's most present to us. Like if the spiritual world is our first reality, like we're going to have more access to it than just like the natural world, right? Because we believe that there's angels in this room right now.
Amen.
Don't we? I
yeah.
believe there's angels in your car with
Boom.
You. You go to mass and like there's, you know, martyrs under the altar, right?
Countless saints and angels
showing
surrounding
up.
You.
So I just pray like in that intimacy, we become more aware of this, I guess the spirit world, you know, mm-hmm. if you would. Aaron, this is a breakthrough of basically intimacy with the Lord in your life. Okay, what were the fruits and gifts that flowed through this intimacy?
Amen.
That you had.
Sure. Yeah. You know, my major takeaway from that weekend was that I had been given, like you said, this amazing gift from a father who just wants to give gifts. And I remember telling God after this weekend in Atlanta that I had been so filled that if this encounter was all that He had planned for me, and if He even never wanted to speak to me again, it would have been enough, that I would have been satisfied in His reality and His love for my life. But, you know, somewhat timidly, I approached Him in prayer and I said two things. I said, number one, I want more. And number two, I want this for everyone I know.
That's like a revival cry.
Amen.
Bring it. Shake up the church, Lord. Come on.
We pray for more and more and more.
Amen. So, and you know what? In the last year, I have come to trust that when the Lord makes promises to us, He makes good on them. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So in a matter of weeks, I found that my experience wasn't unique, but that God had planted the seeds of revival all over my own corner of the church, and that I was seeing one of many examples of His faithfulness coming to life. So two things really struck me in the weeks following, and they were both equally amazing. You know, number one, first, I found that when I got home from Atlanta, the experience that I'd had was on a very similar trajectory with the experience that a number of other key leaders and friends in this community had had. And God was committed to pushing us forward together, and it was incredible confirmation. You know, I've always had the struggle of being a skeptic in my experience of the Lord, and it would have been tough for me to walk back from this experience in Atlanta if we had all been in the same room at the same time and heard the same talk and had the same experience. But I came back to a group of people who wasn't there with me and who, when I shared my testimony with them, their response wasn't, oh, wow, that's cool. You know, I want that for myself. Their response was, amen, because the Lord's doing the exact same thing in my
wow.
heart right now.
Amen.
And we're being called on mission together. Just incredible confirmation of His will for it. So the second piece that really showed me that the Lord had a deeper plan for this, and this wasn't just a mountaintop experience that was meant to fade away, was that I found that my personal relationship with the Lord had been set ablaze. I desired intimacy in daily prayer with Him, and I sought it in His word and in His work that He had set me to do. For the first time in my life, I began to seek the fulfillment of the Lord's promises instead of trying to make excuses for Him. God doesn't need us to make excuses
for Him. Yeah, because He
Him.
Came to set the world on fire, and oh, how He wishes it were blazing, and it's blazing in you, my brother in Christ. Keep going.
Thank you.
More, Lord.
So what do I mean by this? What do I mean that the Lord wants to seek the fulfillment of His promises instead of trying to have us make excuses for Him? You know, shortly after my time in Atlanta, I came back, and I was drawn to the Gospels. And for the first time, I began to see a major theme that what Jesus said in truth he proved with signs. So I read straight through the New Testament from start to finish for the first time outside of a classroom in high school and college. And what stood out to me is that reading the Gospels from start to finish, that they are one big story of God miraculously changing circumstances to create an environment of encounter with him. You know, for so long, I had made excuses as to why God wasn't working miracles in my life. That when I read in prayer, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20, St. Paul says, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power." It broke my whole worldview.
That's like a theology wrecker statement right there.
Amen.
Hey, we need that.
So, we shared earlier in the show, John chapter 10, I read through these words, and I trusted for the first time that Jesus doesn't desire in our lives to sit in a place of silence and observation, but that he's speaking to us constantly, and he's inviting us and desiring for us to hear his voice. I read through Matthew chapter 10, and I saw that, and I trusted for the first time that Jesus actually does give us authority to truly drive out impure spirits, to truly heal disease and sickness. So I vowed to stop making excuses as to why God wouldn't work in my life and embrace my identity and
his
sonship.
I got to read that scripture.
Yeah, do it, man.
He summoned the 12 and gave them authority over unclean spirits to drive them out and to cure every disease and infirmity. Mm. Like he released his authority and gave it to us to cast out evil spirits and to heal the sick. Amen.
No, but guys, that just happened 2,000 years ago. That's not... that was true for the apostles, but not for us.
Anathema.
Yeah, anathema. Like,
but isn't that the mindset? Like, yeah. Why is it that the Lord would give authority to the first apostles, but not the modern day apostles?
Like, yeah, when we reduce the work of the Holy Spirit to the apostles, then we make it about the apostles and not the Holy Spirit.
Exactly.
Right?
Well, and that was important in those times because the people needed it at that time. If this isn't a faithless generation, I don't know what is. The people
Amen.
Need signs and wonders
Amen.
At this time. Like, this is a faithless generation. We have more than 70% of Catholics are no longer going to Mass. We yeah. are a faithless generation.
Preach it.
And in the midst of a faithless generation, the Lord brings signs and wonders.
Fire.
And that's what he wants to bring to us today. The problem is we don't believe in that. And so we need to have the faith of the first apostles, the faith of the early church.
I met this guy named Aaron Richards, and he believes in this. Aaron.
Whoa. People believe in this.
Have you ever seen a miracle?
Yeah. So, I've led retreats for confirmation groups for years, and it's so funny, Dan, as we share this, that as we deliver the story of Pentecost to students, I found myself so many times delivering the story of the first of the miracles that happened in Pentecost, and they would get excited and energized, and then I would follow it up with an apology and yeah. and be like, that was awesome, and wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be great if God showed up in power and rained down fire in the Holy Spirit? But you know what? Your experience is probably going to be worthless, right?
Yeah. because that's not what he does anymore, because we've placed him in a box.
Yeah, exactly. So once again, I committed to stop making excuses as to why God wouldn't work and to embrace an identity as a son. And I just started asking him to fulfill his promises. And since I've started asking him, he's believe it or not, fulfilled his promises. So,
yeah. So you got to share some stories now.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
I want to hear miracles. All right.
Mm.
So, just go. What are some stories, Aaron?
Yeah, you know what? I want to share one because it's so fitting and appropriate. For so long for me, and I think the thought of many Christians was that to hear God's voice is restricted to this vague experience of doing the right thing and living within a set of standards that you've been convinced come from him. And while that's all well and good, it leaves very little room for an intimate experience of encounter with him. So one of the prayer ministry experiences that a few buddies and I have been called to and have been doing in the last few months is to set 2 or 3 hours aside for God's work. And, we always say to each other that he blesses obedience above our success. So our mission is accomplished the moment we commit a time to him.
Mm-hmm.
And if we see signs and wonders, if we see miracles happen, that's awesome. But our obedience and our commitment to him is what he asks for. And so we sit down, we commit a couple hours to him, and we kick off by asking God questions for ministry and being ready and committed to respond. So I want to give two quick examples before the break out of many. So a friend and I went to deliver this message of faith to a group of seminarians at St. Mary Major Seminary in Detroit. And this was unique because out of all of us in the church, I believe that seminarians have really been asked to put a lot of trust in the idea that they are effectively hearing and responding to God's word, mm-hmm. right? This is a life direction setting decision. So we came up and met with these guys and we instructed them. Number one, we're going to approach the Lord in praise. Number two, we're going to ask God a group of simple questions. And number three, we're going to commit to record the first image, word, or sense in our heart before distraction and doubt can set in. You know, faith is shown in taking risks. So asking God to speak to us is one thing. That's something most of us may be comfortable with. You know, expecting and hearing something in response is another thing. But committing to that word and writing it down and sharing it with the person next to you and then going to do it mm-hmm. is a step of faith. So, you know, when that happens, you immediately start to question whether this is me or whether this is God. Two words that stood out in this particular example, we were with these seminarians in St. Mary Major Seminary in Detroit, and both of them were unique and hilarious to the point of being unexpected and filled with doubt. Okay, here we go. We're heading to a college campus full of black and gray, full of trendy students, and it's a pretty cold day. And one of our guys gets an image in prayer of a man who's dressed in full camouflage, a hunting outfit, with an orange hunting hat. Okay, we're in the middle of downtown Detroit. It's possible, not likely.
All likely. Over the place. All over the
and
place.
And so wait, did you get this word or one of the seminarians?
This was one of the seminarians we were with. A second word that was—
And they've never done this before,
Never done this before. A second word that was received, and this was even funnier, was a set of drums and drumsticks, like the little drummer boy that you'd hang on your Christmas tree, okay? So— once again, our encouragement was, I don't care if it's on or not. We're going to write down the first thing that comes to our heart, and we're going to step forward in faith. So we ask the Lord for words and directions to speak into these people's lives. And what do we see? We head to campus. Within moments of arriving, out of nowhere comes this guy walking through the crowd with an orange hunting hat. We see him from 100 yards away. As he gets closer, we realize he is the guy. He's dressed in full camouflage. And the look in these seminarians' eyes was so exciting. They made their way to him, and they told him about what we're doing. They prayed with him. And in a moment, they created an opportunity for encounter. And you know what's coming next, right? Of course. So as they're finishing with this guy, who do we see? But the two drummers from the university marching band, they're walking by. They decided on this freezing cold overcast day that they were going to, on a whim, head out into the oval and work on their drum routine. So with excitement overflowing, our crew rushes over to meet them, tells them what they're about, pray with them, and ultimately the faith in these men is built up. When they heard that we were a group of Catholic seminarians and missionaries who were out on campus proclaiming the name of Jesus, their lives were transformed. One student in particular in this group of drummers had a history of being a part of the Catholic Church, and he had since fallen away. And in that moment, seeing the relationship that the Lord had with these individuals just led him to an incredible encounter of prayer. On the way home, I heard this testimony of a seminarian who said that his whole life he'd been seeking to hear and to fulfill the voice of the Lord in his life. But he never knew that God would actually speak direction into his heart with such love and clarity. Wow. And that, my brothers, is the fruit of encounter. Amen?
Amen. Amen. So we can hear God's voice. Aaron, when you come back on, I want to hear more about, you know, how to hear God's voice and that, you know, people aren't crazy.
Amen.
When that can happen. So we're gonna take a break right now. But when we come back, we're going to bring you back one more time, and we want to hear more stories. Can you show some more miracle stories? Mm-hmm. Okay. And then also kind of a little instruction on how we can hear God's voice in our own life. So you're listening to Encounter, a production of St. Gabriel Radio. My name is Patrick Rice, and Dan, I'll be back on the show with Dan Demite and Aaron Richards on the flip side. Thank you so much.
Welcome back to Encounter, the show that brings you the life-changing encounters of ordinary people that launch them into lives of extraordinary mission. We have Aaron Richards to just to bring it back. So, Aaron, you've seen miracles. You're talking about bringing helping train these seminarians to hear God's voice, going out and actually doing it. So what happened next?
Yeah. Doesn't it sound silly to say that you've seen miracles? You know, that's something that we think only happens in Scripture. It's something we think that only happened in the early church. And that's not the Lord's will. That's not the Lord's will. He accomplishes miracles every day. And as Catholics, I think we're predisposed to maybe put ourselves in a place where we say to ourselves, you know, the only miracle I need happens on the altar every Sunday. And that's absolutely true. That's the core of our faith. That's our source and summit. But the Lord's not, you know, the Lord never said that this is all you get.
Yeah, so, what about the miracles that God wants?
We come to Him in faith and we ask for more. We ask for His will to be accomplished in our lives. You know, so I shared on this experience on campus with these seminarians, and it was amazing to see their whole schema transformed in a moment of hearing the Lord's voice and clarity for the first time. So our story doesn't end there. This trip to Detroit was awesome. So we head back to the seminary, and that night we're gathered for a presentation on basically this type of prayer, on a presentation on hearing the Lord's voice and responding immediately in trust and in faith. And as we came to the end of the night, we entered into a time of prayer ministry, and we were instructed by the leader of this session to go ahead and partner up with the person next to us and be open to a time of really Spirit-led prayer. Okay, so I was seated in the back of the room, and I was seated next to a woman who was middle-aged. And as a youth minister, my tendency is always to be drawn to like the young people in the room. So I was just scouting the room and identifying all these people that I wanted to be in ministry with. And as Patrick said, you know, you're going to partner up with the person next to you. My immediate inclination was to jump up and go somewhere else because I didn't,
not the old lady.
Yeah, I didn't. I found a common theme in my life in the last year has been that whenever I have that moment of thinking like I want something else for me right now, that it's God's way of saying I want this for you right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was awesome. We started to pray together, and this woman's name was Denise. And Denise and I started to pray together, and our initial request of the Lord was that He would speak a word into our life for the upbuilding of the other person. And at this point, you know, again, silly me, selfish me, I'm thinking that, okay, this is going to be an opportunity for me to minister to this woman. And it was her turn to go first. It was her turn to hear a voice from the Lord, and she did. And she just spoke such dramatic truth into my life that confirmed the entire experience of the last 6 months of my prayer. I was blown away.
Praise God.
I was blown away. And that encounter, that experience of hearing her speak with such authority just moved me in faith. I was like, all right, Lord, you know, whatever you have in store for this night, it's yours. I'm totally here for you. And the sky's the limit, Lord. There is no limit on what you're going to accomplish here tonight.
Heaven's opened up and they never close.
Amen.
Right?
Open heaven over you, brother.
Amen. So I asked Denise, well, what do you want me to pray for you for? What do you want to ask the Lord for tonight? And she, you know, mentioned a couple things. She works in a parish setting and mentioned some healing of relationships, etc. And then she asked that she would like to approach the Lord for healing of a severed nerve in her right leg that had resulted in an experience called drop foot, where she lacked the ability to lift the muscle in her foot. So her foot was steady on the ground and she couldn't lift it up.
And that creates a limp in people, right?
Correct. Correct. And I didn't notice this when she came in because she was already seated by the time I'd gotten there. And she said that, you know, for months she'd been unable to walk effectively and with ease because of this experience. And she was just tired of it and wanted it to be finished. So I had never prayed in faith for a creative miracle like this to happen, but I was on such a high horse that day. I was just so I was in like this prophetic flow of hearing the Holy Spirit work and trusting in His desire to accomplish what He said He would. I mean, it was like success and success and success, and God, you've taken me this far. Why are you going to fail me now? So I began to pray with Denise. And I had a moment where I just asked the Lord, how do you want to accomplish this? You know, this, my prayer is not going to do anything here, but Lord, by your name and your authority, I believe you can work a miracle here. And, in the process of praying with this woman, I felt that the Lord wanted me to awkwardly ask her if I could actually like hold her foot and lift her foot up. And she was like, okay, yeah, whatever. I don't care. So I bent down and I lifted up this woman's leg and kind of had her, she was seated in a chair and I had her leg extended out. And the moment that we did that, I prayed a prayer that Jesus would come and bring healing into her leg. And all of a sudden, I'll never forget this. The muscles in her leg like started to twitch very, very noticeably, like very, very violently. And I asked Denise, are you doing this? And she said, I am not doing this. So long story short, we prayed for about, I don't know, 3 or 4 minutes and put her foot down on the ground. And, I said, you know, Denise, let's test it out. And she lifted up her foot and, just tears started flowing. And she said, it's healed. It was amazing. Yeah, it was amazing. I started cheering. I was like, okay, well, we're going to walk. We're going to make sure this is real. So we just started walking.
Kick it real quick.
We started walking
sure.
back and forth across the room, and she was blown away. Her faith was built up. My faith was built up. This is one story of hundreds that we've seen here, even in Columbus, Ohio, in the last year.
Come on. Revival.
Examples of asking God to speak and hearing his voice instead of silence, of seeing men and women who've lived a good life be blown away when they hear the voice of their loving Father for the first time, of asking God to heal and seeing a broken hand restored, of seeing, like in the example of Denise, a damaged nerve recovered to full function, to seeing a man walk for the first time in 20 years, get up out of a wheelchair, to seeing an anxious mind immediately clarified, rather than coming in with the expectation of failure and a litany of excuses as to why God might not work today. It's one example of hundreds of myself and others finding this identity as a son or a daughter of God who, contrary to our prior expectation, doesn't desire to remain distant and obscured and anonymous, but a God who desires to have a relationship with us that is intimate, empowering, and clear.
You know, Aaron, what you just said, it reminds me of the prayer of the Our Father. Like, Jesus Amen. Taught us to pray. Like, our prayer always needs to be, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So, like, we can just ask ourselves, like, in heaven, okay, is this situation in heaven? Is there drop foot in heaven? Are there severed nerves in heaven?
No.
Okay, there's not. So I guess we're now, it's legal to pray for heaven's reality to become earth's reality,
Amen.
Right? And then the key is like, Lord, how do you want to do it?
Mm-hmm.
How do you want to do it? You've given me authority, but I need you to help me. So that's when you hear God's voice and the Lord showed you what to do to lift Amen. Up her foot. Can you give our listeners like a little teaching on how you hear God's voice and how they can hear God's voice?
Yeah, you know what? Absolutely. This hasn't been just a personal encounter. That same light that came on in the eyes of the seminarians the first time they heard the voice of God with clarity and specificity is what is possible for every person. You know, expectantly seeking this encounter has brought new life to our community in Columbus, and it's something that God is longing to give to his people everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I you know, here's my instruction that I give to everybody. Number one, you got to put yourself in a place of being prayerfully predisposed to the Lord. So sometimes for me, that is turning on, you know, my favorite worship music and just entering into a time of praise. Secondly, we've got to ask the Lord a simple question. And thirdly, we've got to hear his voice. You know, our minds are so critical of ourselves. And the first thing we do when we hear the voice of the Lord is we begin to doubt. So it's...
What are the modes that you hear God's voice?
Mm-hmm,
is it like an audible voice outside of you?
Yeah, I don't think that I've ever heard an audible voice outside of me. There's four key ways that I want to encourage our listeners to think of. Number one, you may hear a word. You may actually hear a word in your own thoughts. Trust the word. Either it's the voice of God or it's the voice of the Holy Spirit working in your heart. Either way, you're going to win, okay? Number two, you may see an image. The Lord may even just put a prompting on your imagination. Go with it. Ask the Lord, why'd you reveal this to me? Number three, you may get some kind of just a deep conviction, a feeling that this is what I know I have to do. And number four, you might actually experience the Lord move in your body. You may experience heat or cold. You may experience an emotional reaction. Let's not be afraid of our bodies showing us the Lord's presence. Let's not be a people who's afraid of an emotional reaction. Let's allow the Lord to work in whatever way.
And Aaron, how many times have we had like experience of pain in our body, and that's been like a word of knowledge for a healing in someone?
Amen.
And then we've called that out, and
Amen.
Then
the and person, there it is. Yeah.
And the Lord's just saying, yeah, and we see healings through that way.
Yeah, God wants to speak to his people. He doesn't speak with laser focus. He speaks like the light of the sun.
Mm-hmm.
And we as a community need to be open to his word and open to the fact that he may be giving me a word for the guy Amen. Sitting next to me.
Amen. So we're just going to pray like you. It started with you for surrender. Mm. Dan, will you lead us in a prayer of surrender?
Yeah, let's pray in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Let's just invite the Spirit of God in our midst. Come, Holy Spirit. Worthy are you. Come, Holy Spirit.
Thank you.
Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Just getting the image of Jesus approaching John the Baptist and the beautiful humility of Jesus to go to John and to say, I want you to baptize me, right? Like that he was entering into our existence, our state. And so we just pray that we would have that same disposition of our Lord, that we would come in need, that we would be baptized in the Spirit, that the Spirit would be washed over us. Mm-hmm. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord, we surrender our lives to you. We surrender our doubts to you. We surrender our insecurities to you. We surrender our hopelessness, our despair. Lord, any of our listeners who feel like they have so many unanswered prayers, we just surrender that to you. We know you are a Father who desires to give us good things. Father, come and give us good things. Give your children good things. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray that you would give us a spirit of humility, a spirit of faith, a spirit that has a deep passion for the kingdom. Mm-hmm. We pray that you would speak in a tangible way, O Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit.
Father, we just pray for just a renewed encounter today, that you would speak clearly, that our listeners would have the courage to ask you a question, and then just to wait for that image, to wait for that word in their mind, or just to wait for that conviction that you're there, that you want this for them. Mm-hmm. So, Father, we thank you for everything you've done in Aaron, and we ask you for more. And we pray this in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us on Encounter. On behalf of Dan and I, we pray that you have the grace to receive and respond to every divine encounter that God brings you today. To learn more about us for the show or how you can share your life-changing encounter with our audience, please visit encounterradio.org. That's encounterradio.org.